I can't hardly contain myself, Davis. Here we are, out on Central Campus, Iowa State University. We're within 48 hours of the Iowa-Iowa State game. Ames Day trucks are rolling into town, and we get to spend the next hour talking with Chad and Lee at Iowa State. I don't know, man. I don't know if I can handle this. I might pass out.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we will talk with Chad Hart and Lee Scholes from Iowa State University. And right after the news, I think we've got Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures.
Yeah.
I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the super cyclonic host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
That, like, takes it to a whole new level.
Oh, yes.
The super cyclonic.
Yes, yes. The cyclonicism is real with
love
this
it.
One.
I love it. I love it. I love it. What a great day we're having down here in Ames, Davis. What a great day.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
Just before we went on the air, I heard a couple of people in the background there in your locale saying, oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
Is it raining down there?
Well, it's not raining yet, but, you know, the wind started to pick up, and all of a sudden it felt like it was starting to come in here. There, So it felt like it was just starting to blow in, but I think we're going to be okay.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yep. But I don't know. By the time we get done with this show, we may be scrambling too. I don't know, Davis.
I mentioned this morning that my medium blue Enigma was going to be playing the Cyclones.
Yeah.
The little Cyclones. They've canceled that game for tonight. They moved it to Monday.
Already?
Yeah, they're afraid of the weather. And I think they're just afraid that the medium blue Enigma is going to tear up the field for the varsity game tomorrow night. I mean, these boys are rough and tough.
You darn right. You darn right they are. Those boys are hard on a football field.
They really are, with their little cleats. God bless them.
Yes, yes. All right. Hey, before we get to Oliver, let's get to some of the news, because it was a big day.
Yes, it was. Well, USDA estimated 2019-20 wheat carryover at 1.014 billion bushels, unchanged from last month. In fact, USDA must have worn out its change maker on the corn, soybean, and cotton supply and demand sheets, because they made no changes to the wheat balance sheet. The only change was a 20-cent cut in the estimated national average on-farm cash wheat price from last month. The lack of market-moving data in the report for wheat left the market vulnerable to influence from the other markets, and strengthened corn and soybean prices helped to tug wheat prices higher. December hard red futures were a nickel higher at 4.03 and a half. December soft red futures gained 6 and a quarter to close at 4.83 and three quarters. Chip.
Yeah, it was a lot to do. The gains that we saw in wheat had a lot to do with corn and soybeans. That's the bottom line there.
USDA cut estimated corn production 102 million bushels from last month. While the estimate is moving in the direction traders expected, the new crop peg is still about 125 million bushels above the average pre-report trade estimate. Combined with an 85 million bushel increase in beginning stocks, total new crop supplies are down just 16 million bushels from last month, and 2019-20 corn carryover is now projected at 2.19 billion bushels, up just 9 million bushels from last month. A couple of numbers that went into the crop estimate of 13.799 billion bushels. Chip, the national average corn yield dropped 1.3 bushels per acre to 168.2. Yep. And harvested acreage, unchanged from last month, 82.017 million acres. December corn futures, 7 1/4 cents higher, 367 and a quarter. March corn up 7 1/2, 379 and three quarters. May corn, 389 even, up 7 1/4 cents today. Chip.
Yeah, I like that comment that you made early there, that we had the trends going in the right direction, the crop getting smaller. And you throw the markets into that as well, prices getting stronger. So, it was a good day all the way around. I think we'll continue that on the corn side of things. We'll talk more with Chad about that in a bit.
Great. Well, and for now, let's stay on the crop details for soybeans. USDA cut the crop estimate 47 million bushels from last month, but that's still 56 million bushels above average pre-report trade estimates. USDA's estimate of 3.633 billion bushels was built on a national average yield of 47.9 bushels per acre, down 6/10 from last month, with harvested acreage at 75.866 million, unchanged from last month. On the old crop balance sheet, USDA increased estimated use 65 million bushels, pulling bean carryover down by that amount and to 1.005 billion bushels. New crop bean carryover is estimated at 640 million bushels, down 115 million bushels from last month. November bean futures 29 cents higher, 8.95 and a half. January beans jumped 28 and a half to 9.09 even. March beans closed at 9.21 and a quarter, up 27 and a quarter cents on the day. Haven't played this one in quite a while, Chip.
I know it. It's good to hear that music again. Good stuff.
Happy to do it.
Good stuff. All right. Yeah, a lot of movement there on the bean supply and demand table as well. You know what? Let's go ahead and save the livestock news because we've got Lee Scholes coming up at the bottom or in the next segment. We'll talk livestock with him. Let's bring in Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. Oliver, how are you doing today, buddy?
Pretty good, all things considered. It could have been an ugly day, but I like the way things turned out today. And honestly, I feel like a lot of this started just a couple days ago after making contract lows, I mean, basically for cattle and grains. I think you saw the money flow shift. And I was talking with the clients the other day, you know, anymore you got to be, obviously, you got to have fundamentals in your toolbox, technicals, but now you got to have political analysts in your toolbox as well. And when we got that news that John Bolton was out, I still think that's flying under the radar as a very important key aspect to opening up the negotiations for real progress. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him out, you know, put a little bit more premium into the markets. And I think we're seeing that done. And we saw that from China right away, saying that they would like to buy U.S. agricultural products. Obviously, they've said that quite a few times before. But without Bolton chirping in Trump's ear, I think there's a real possibility of that happening.
Yeah, and it sounds like China was in there buying some beans today. 10 cargoes of beans for October to December shipment out of the PNW. Were you hearing those that talk too, Oliver?
That's exactly what I've heard, and you know, prices reflected and such, and I think we can see an extension on this from the technical standpoint. We've got a breakout above 880 to 883 for November, so that ends the trend of lower highs and lower lows now that we're above that. So we're starting to see the money flow shift, not just in beans, but in the whole ag commodities in general, livestock as well. Got a big reversal in the U.S. dollar after the ECB meeting this morning. Fed's on deck next week. So a lot going on here to round out the week, and I think it'll put us in a good direction going into next week's trade.
Dude, you got me leaning back a little bit here. We've got a lot of things that all of a sudden are lining up and working for us.
Absolutely. I couldn't be more optimistic on things. I generally, as a rule of thumb, like to try to temper my expectations, but the tides are definitely starting to turn, it seems like.
Love it. Love it. Okay. Well, we got a little bit of time left here. You know where I'm going. I'm sitting in Ames, Iowa, Iowa State University. It's game day down here, dude. It's game day in Ames.
I'm putting my headgear on right now for Cy. Give me the points. I'll take them every day.
Yeah. Amen, brother. I love it. I love it. You got the Cardinal and gold on. Lee ain't got nothing on you, Oliver. Nothing.
He's got nothing. He's got nothing.
That's right. Well, you know, I talked to him last night. You know, we were just sitting around chatting at the hotel. Now.
Oh, sure.
you know I'm kidding about that. All right, Oliver, good stuff. Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week. All right. That is Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. All of a sudden, things are lining up and starting to point us to the upside. We're going to be talking what's going on in the livestock markets, cattle market, lean hog market, with Lee Scholes from Iowa State University. Up next, right here on AgriTalk. It's College Roadshow, Iowa State.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on AgWeb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
And welcome to Iowa State University, home of the Cyclones. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Floyd, the 2019 AgriTalk and U.S. Farm Report College Roadshow from Iowa State University is brought to you by the Champions of Yield. Asgrow and the Roundup Ready Extend Crop System. Talk to your dealer to score the next W for your operation. All right, before we get to the conversation with Lee, let's go ahead and finish up that news. Davis, what happened in the livestock trade?
Well, I tell you what, the upside recovery in front-month cattle futures was stalled by resistance at last week's high, but December futures did push through and close above last week's high. That sets the stage for the chart-based price recovery to continue in cattle trade tomorrow. October cattle were 22.5 cents higher at 98.72.5. December cattle futures firmed 132.5 to close at 104.95. October feeders 47.5 cents higher, 134.50. And on the snout side, hope that a trade deal with China could be reached before long helped the lean hog market to trade sharply higher today. Today's gap higher price performance should continue to chase short position holders out of the market. October hogs were up the $3 daily trading limit at 63.17.5, and December hogs limit up 64.20. Chip.
Yeah, all right. Thanks. I mean, the hope that developed in this market in a very short period of time is pretty amazing in here. Mm-hmm. And I think Oliver was right. John Bolton exited the cabinet, and all of a sudden we had less of a war hawk, I think, is one of the ways that the market may be looking at it. I guess the attitude is maybe some calmer heads coming into the cabinet there. Okay. Thanks, Davis. Iowa State University Livestock Market Specialist Lee Scholes is with us now. Lee, it's good to see you again. How are you?
Great. It's good to be back.
Yeah, man. Everything going well down here? The students all behaving themselves this year and everything?
They certainly do, or they don't tell us about it, right, if they're not. But another great crop of students here at Iowa State, especially the Ag Biz program. Yeah. We're a vibrant, robust program, and just looking forward to another year.
Yeah, you spend a lot of time with the student groups, don't you?
We do, and really that's the joy we get of really seeing the students inside but also outside of the classroom and really going after their passions. And so we get to work with the ag management and marketing auditing organization, which they really allow them to take what they're learning in the classroom and what also they're learning at home and kind of apply it, and also really network with a lot of the people that they hope to work with and also hope to be colleagues with in the future.
Chad Hart, who we're going to talk with at the bottom of the hour, spends a lot of time with AMO, spends a lot of time with the Ag Business Club and everything. But the neat thing about those groups, there are some in those groups that are going to go out and work in agribusiness. A lot of those kids are going to go home and farm, aren't they?
They are, and we truly get a real mix, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what's important with that is understanding that they're all working in agriculture, right? They're going to cross paths, and this is really the first foray into that. You get a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different perspectives on things, and but really it's a common voice of really growing agriculture, be it crop agriculture, animal agriculture, and really understanding we're kind of all in this together.
Yeah, it's very cool. Okay, hogs today limit up on this idea that maybe, just maybe, China is finally going to have to come to the U.S. and buy some pork. Evidently, some warming up of the trade talks. I like hearing that. You got pork prices in China up 47% in August in 1 month, Lee. All of a sudden, it feels like things are starting to stack up, and we may have a reason to go ahead and move this hog market to the upside.
Certainly. It looks like, I mean, the psychology has definitely changed, and it's changed rather quickly, right? And I think, but also, you know, if you pull back a little bit, and the fundamentals are there, right? I mean, we've seen trade, the weekly trade data is pointing towards tremendous sales this year, both of what we have exported as well as what's on the books for the rest of 2019. Certainly, China's contributing to that with growth, really phenomenal growth, if you compare year over year to what we've seen. So I think the pieces were there. And maybe it's just that we needed a bit of more certainty or a little bit of news to put us over the top. Also, you could argue that maybe we were a bit oversold in the market, and we are reacting more positively to this upside as we're grasping for that information.
Yeah. You know, and when we talk about the livestock trade in particular, and well, I shouldn't say that because it's very important to corn, it's very important to wheat, very important to soybeans too, but the idea that there is a kind of a full court press going on right now in Washington, D.C. to get Speaker Pelosi to take the USMCA to the floor for a vote. And the attitude is that this thing is going to pass and probably easily pass. That's got to be some good news for the pork market as well.
Well, I think it's certainly the momentum, right? I think we've got the ball rolling now in several different courts, right? With USMCA and kind of renewal of the talks with China and maybe kind of a deal on the horizon. Also, the deal with Japan, I think also maybe helped to get that ball rolling, right? And so with that momentum, I think you've started to finally see the nudge in the market, and you're starting to see markets react to it. Cash has been strong. I think that's certainly leading, especially when we look at the cattle market. And that certainly helped maybe pull the market along as we're getting pushed by some of these other external factors that are impacting the market.
Are we going to have better pricing opportunities for hogs into the fourth quarter?
Well, it's all perspective, right? And I think, you know, fourth quarter, we're certainly better than we were the last couple of years. There's some opportunities out there, right? I mean, I think really what we're drawing on is the home for that pork, realizing that, you know, you're looking at slaughter levels up over 5% as we get into that fourth quarter, large slaughter levels. We have the capacity to slaughter it. We know that. We've tested it last year. We got additional capacity this year. The issue is, do we have a home for it? So far, exports are rather strong. But, you know, I think it's all up in the air about what deals get in place, how fast they get in place, and how much product we can push onto that market.
Okay. You mentioned Japan and the trade deal with Japan. Beef should be a big benefit, should get a lot of benefit from that deal with Japan.
Beef was the key one, right? Right when we look at livestock and in particular, that has tremendous for growth potentially. What it does is puts us on par with our major competitors.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the concern is, you know, need to get the deal done first, right? Yep. It's done in principle. Also, it's, you know, how quickly does it put us on par with our competitors? Because you can argue that the TPP countries had a two-year head start on us.
Right.
If it puts us on par right away, I think we can win that battle any day based on the quality, consistent product that we're sending there at a competitive price.
They love U.S. beef.
They love it. You go there, and that's what's marketed, right?
Yep.
It's trusted. It's a high-quality product.
Yep.
But I think we just have to be close to competitive, and that'll put us in that fight.
Okay, I got to ask this question because we had the fire over at the Tyson plant in Holcomb, Kansas. It showed us how well-balanced it seems that the supply side was with the slaughter capacity. At least we thought it was. And then all of a sudden we lose 5-6% of our slaughter capacity. We increase our slaughter by 7-9% over a year ago. And somehow, some way, the industry handled it. Lee, what are we going to learn from all of this?
Well, I think we're going to learn markets work, right?
Okay, good.
I think we understand that, you know, the markets will incentivize production or pull back of production, but also short term it can cause some blips in the market. And
yeah.
I think that's what also we really learned. I think it showed us importantly that the packing capacity situation isn't like the excess shackle space we had the last 5-10 years, that we are a little bit more snug in there, and you do have issues when you get large supplies on the market. That's either because of lack of capacity or an increase in cattle numbers.
Right.
So we're going to be challenged here the next couple of months, I think, as we work through this larger supply. But we've already seen kind of markets, I think, have the overreaction. Now we've seen them come back a bit and are reflecting the overall strong demand situation.
So it sounds like Tyson believes that they'll get that plant back up and operational just after the first of the year. What's going to be the market reaction then?
Well, and so they have announced before the end of the year. I think they have incentives to do it even quicker just due to the strong profitability
right.
that's out there.
Right.
You know, I think the market reaction is going to be a lot less than we've seen on the front end of this.
Yeah.
Because I think you're going to see that the market has been able to absorb the additional supply given that capacity. Certainly, it's going to change the leverage position a little bit. That Packers, they have more leverage now, but it's going to back off when that plant comes back on to capacity.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think you're going to see less of an upside maybe than you see the downside here.
Gotcha. Lee, stick around if you would. I want you to come back for the final segment. I'm going to talk with Chad here in the next segment, but I want to get the two of you together here at the end of the show, okay? All right. That is Lee Schulz. He is the livestock market specialist here at Iowa State University. When we come back, we're going to talk the grain markets. Big reports today from USDA. What do they mean for us going forward? We'll find out from Chad Hart right here at Iowa State University on AgriTalk. It's the College Road Show.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at December soft red winter wheat futures today. The SRW wheat market has held up somewhat better than its hard red counterparts this summer, but that still entails the December futures drop to a September 3rd low at 450 and a half. Part of the decline was harvest pressure, but weakness spilling over from the corn market exaggerated the fall. Still, the SRW market has come back lately, as indicated by Tuesday's rally to a one-month high at 483.5. It couldn't quite challenge its 40-day moving average at that point, so yesterday's setback made sense, as did today's early test of 20-day moving average support. The late rally left it marginally above its 40-day EMA at its 484.75 close. Given the soybean breakout, this could open the door to an SRW advance as well.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You ready, Chip?
I am.
Sing with me now.
Okay.
And here we go. Crazy! But that's how it goes. Huh?
I am so confused right now.
People!
It's the old mashup. It's the Davis Michelson mashup. It's coming at you live from Iowa State University. Woo! College Road Show. And this is brought to you by Roundup Ready Extend Crop System and DeKalb. And speaking of that, let's go ahead and roll this industry spotlight. All right, Sue. Sue Breakhanes joins me now. Sue, how are you? It's good to see you again.
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Chip.
Good, good, good. Okay, let's talk about this crop here in central Iowa. Where do we stand right now, primarily on the soybean crop?
You know, soybean crop, the part that was planted early, just like the corn, we have a major variation in maturity. The part that was planted early is actually starting to turn. We're starting to get leaf color and the pod color just starting to get there. As we get into the plot planted in June, it's probably about 2 weeks behind the April planted crop, which is kind of expected. Flowers are pretty well finished, though, right now, and we have some development in the beans yet to fill in the late crop.
Okay, what about disease? Is it late-developing crop? Have the diseases been slow to develop, too?
They have, actually. So I was kind of surprised with as wet as we started this season, we really didn't get the rainfall, which tends to trip the SDS in the middle of the season. We have had SDS come in later, but I'd say in the last 3 weeks is the first we've seen it, and it's not really developed huge in any areas, which is a good thing to finish out with.
Right.
So fairly clean right now.
Okay. So, as the guys get in the cab and they start taking that bird's eye view of the crop as they're bringing it in, both corn and soybeans here, what do they need to be thinking about as they're getting ready for 2020?
I think the biggest thing is you look from the corn perspective, think about your residue management. We came in from a wet year last year. We compacted some soil. It was a wet year to go in the field. Same thing in the spring, unfortunately. So we want to maintain that residue level without doing a lot of excessive work in the fields, quite honestly. And as we get into prepping, what products are going to go behind that? If it's corn on corn, watch your disease levels and how you trade out that. The same thing goes for beans. We did a lot of beans on beans because of the late season this year. So what are you managing your disease profiles with?
Yeah. And let's keep that seed, the weed seed bank under control, huh?
Yes. Fall applications might be an option, or early spring, and a lot of residual in the 6N system would help you out quite a bit.
Good stuff, Sue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right. That is Sue Brakings with Asgrow. And you know, guys, we had this big report out today. It's time for us to start taking a look at some of the numbers and sticking the headphones on and the microphone on. Right now is Chad Hart, crops marketing specialist here at Iowa State University. You've been running around. You've been running hard today, dude. Okay?
It's a fun day to run around. Come on. As we sit down here now and the rain just
Rain starts to come. Yeah. No, it's all good. It's good to see you again.
How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. Yeah. I love being back here in Ames and at Iowa State. It's quite the week we got going here.
It is quite the week. I wanted to know, has Game Day reached out to you yet to be the celebrity guest picker?
The guest picker? No, we haven't done that yet. And I think the clock has probably ticked far enough that it's not going to happen. You know, but when you've got you've got like Superman that you could pick, or Aquaman that you could pick, and have one of those guys come rolling in. I think I'm probably down the list. They haven't even asked time.
Well, there we go. Now we know where we're at in the pecking order.
That's right.
Because I'm below you there on that one.
Oh, shoot. So we get the reports today. They take 100 million bushels off the corn crop. Big whoop. Right.
Well, I mean, it's the adjustment that everybody was looking for, just not the size that they were hoping for.
Right.
And when it comes right down to it, to me, the bigger number that I was really watching for was the ears per acre that they were seeing out in the fields. Just like you found when you were doing the Pro Farmer Tour, those ears just aren't out there, and that's beginning to be reflected here. Now, from here on out, I'm going to watch them on the grain weight side.
Right.
Because they projected, you know, given what they were hearing from farmers, they went with a fairly high grain weight, which they had to line up.
Yeah.
But that's one I'm watching to see that slide as we go through October and into November.
You know, what you're talking about is the process that goes behind putting this crop estimate together. It's still heavily weighted towards the farmer surveys, but they've got the objective yield data, and the best objective yield data that they could get from the sample plots was the ears per the ear population.
Yeah.
The grain length, grain weight, that's still the unmeasurables of this year's crop right now. But the ear counts are there, and they're down. So I think it started the trend in the right direction.
It did. And when you're looking here, I'm going to say that, you know, this is a weird year because, okay, they didn't do the August objective yield survey.
Right.
We started here in September. But what we sort of got here with the September report was what we would normally get in August.
In August.
Because this thing is, you know, this crop is 2 weeks behind.
Yep.
And so everything about it has been 2 weeks behind, including what we can measure out there in terms of getting a yield estimate put together.
Right. You know, and a lot of guys would give a lot of money for their crop to be just 2 weeks behind.
Yeah. We would. And that's the other thing that I was looking at here is what do we see of the geographic spread looking at this crop? And you could see that they continue to downgrade what we're seeing out, especially in the eastern corn belt. Mm-hmm. Whereas here on the western side, they're holding us up a little bit here just because I think that's the way the ears played out as well.
Right. You know, we can talk about the supply side, and we will continue to debate the supply side of the market from now until the final production summary that we'll get in January. But if you don't have the demand to go along with it, Chad, it's kind of hard to get the upside momentum started.
It definitely is, and I think that, to me, is the bigger thing that I'm watching for now, especially when we're looking at, you know, the export market. Let's face it, you know, we came off of, you know, old crop down about 17% on our export sales. This year so far in the advanced sales, we're roughly half of what we were this time last year. You're seeing some weakness on the ethanol side. Basically, the only thing that's holding us up right now is that, you know, feed demand's been pretty good. We've seen the livestock continue to be able to export through some of these problems. And so when you're looking, that demand is getting, the demand is getting weaker faster than the supply side.
Yeah, that's not a good combination.
It's not a good combination.
Yeah, and We talk about this so often, that demand-led rally is what really has legs. It's really that market that can give you selling opportunities that ultimately will be better than what you anticipated. The problem is they take a long time to develop.
They do, and you're looking for where's that surprise come from?
Right.
You know, I think when you go back, and you look back at, like, the ethanol boom.
Yep.
The idea is people saw it coming, but they didn't expect it to come as quick as it did, as hard as it did, as large as it did. And so it led to some incredible prices 5-6 years ago. Now we're seeing, you know, that industry's still there, but now they're mature.
Yeah.
And so the growth pattern here is much slower than what we've been used to over the past decade. And we're having a hard time adjusting back down to that slower growth pattern.
Right. Okay. So 365, 370 D's futures. There's some better prices out into the March and into the May. There's some carry in the market. What do guys need to be thinking about right now after we got these reports? We've been hearing for 3 weeks. Well, we got to wait for September 12th. We got those reports. Now what?
Well, and I think when you're looking here, the idea is, I hate to say this, but I think we're in this waiting period where we're going to be sitting here for a while waiting to see how quickly can these production numbers, yield numbers, come down. So just as soon as we digested this report, we're on to October when we're looking here, because the idea is that we didn't get quite the movement we're looking for here. We do have some time on our side. In this case, when I'm looking at these markets, I'm going to say, I want farmers to fall back on what we've seen the last few years. You've seen the harvest lows, and then as we look deeper into the wintertime, we've got some chances for some rallies out there, but it depends upon several things lining up for us.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things being, okay, where is that spark in demand that can help us pull through?
Right, right. It's a little dry down in South America.
It is a little dry down there. And the idea is, like I say, when I'm looking at Eastern Corn Belt versus Western, we got some problems there.
Yeah.
We've seen basis levels strengthen over the past year. That's a decent sign. And so we're looking at these games. It's going to be these small gains that you're looking for. We're not getting back to where we were in June and July.
Right.
But the idea is we can get a little bit better than where we're at today.
Right, right. Okay, so we're out on crop tour. Everywhere we go, we expect all kinds of questions on what'd you see in the field, what'd you get for counts, what about this, what about that. And at every location, somebody brought up that basis that you just brought up. Explain that to, with our ethanol margins stinking like they are right now, the demand base that you mentioned, I mean, is the supply there or not?
Well, there's a question about the supply, but I think there's also a question about the quality.
Okay.
And I think that's the deal. What I've been hearing from farmers, especially as we've moved through the last month, month and a half, is that you are seeing buyers out there fly to the quality, and they're willing to offer up a little stronger basis bid if they can guarantee that quality.
Okay.
And I'm seeing that, especially as I look at Western Iowa moving into the eastern side. We've seen our livestock feeders over there be a little more aggressive in saying, hey, you know, I know which farmers have planted at the normal time as opposed to later, who's got that field that's looking pretty good. They're going directly to them and saying, okay, you know what, I'll offer you a little bit better than what the market is doing right now to capture that quality crop.
All right. Bean crop estimate, they took, what, $47 million off of it from last month. Is the same kind of story? Got the trend started in the right direction?
It is the same type of story.
Okay.
And again, it comes down to, you look at the pod counts.
Yep.
Again, shifted way over to the left compared to where we've been the past few years, and it's that same argument. In fact, here, I'm really watching that pod weight they put out there because it was really high.
Yeah, it's a record pod weight. Record implied.
Record implied. Now, again, in this case, what that tells you is what they were seeing objectively is different than what farmers were telling them in the subjective yield survey, and they have to line up with that.
Right, right. Yeah, so as that pod weight comes down, and you know, historically, and don't ask me to explain this, but historically, the pod counts will go up some from USDA as we get into the October report and even the final report from the September. But the pod weights historically come down.
Yep, that they do, and that's the deal. That's what's kind of unique about the way that those numbers work out. You're right, the idea is that normally with corn, we expect it to sort of move to the southwest. The idea is you tend to get fewer ears, lower weights. With beans, it's a little bit the opposite. The weights come down, but, yeah, those pods do tend to marginally go up.
All right, stick around, will you? All right, we've got Chad Hart, Iowa State Grain or Crops Marketing Specialist. Lee Scholes is going to come back. He's the livestock marketing specialist here at Iowa State. It's the Road Show in Ames.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you were able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk. It's good. Wait for it. Wait for it, Planet Earth.
Gotta wait for it. Here it comes.
Crazy. But that's how it goes.
That's like my favorite thing ever right there. Right next to being on Central Campus at Iowa State.
It's unclear why Ozzy left Earth, Wind, and Fire, but there's bad blood there.
You know, it's the group that you never thought would break up.
I know, and then they did, and you thought, well, what next, you know? I suppose, yeah. You know, I don't know.
It sounds like a VH1 special to me.
Maybe.
Sounds like a VH1 special.
It's a good opportunity. Let's get on that.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the AgriTalk U.S. Farm Report College Roadshow. We're on Central Campus at Iowa State University, the home of the Cyclones, and we are having a conversation with Chad Hart and with Lee Scholes. You guys, during the break, we were kind of joking about it and laughing about it that ESPN College Game Day is here in town. This is a big week. This is a big week for everybody here at Iowa State, isn't it, Chad?
Oh, yeah. It's a gigantic week for us here.
Yeah.
And anytime you get the national exposure from game day being here, you've got you guys coming in on the ag side. You know, we had the big USDA reports coming out. This is just, it's a great big deal this week when we're looking at Iowa State University.
Yeah, yeah. And that's only good for us, isn't it?
I've been asking, why not Ames for the last 7 years? So.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. And, of course, doesn't hurt that Iowa's in that top 25. Yeah, so we've got the Iowa-Iowa State game coming this weekend. It's always a great, great game. It promises to be another good game. But, I mean, come on. You guys, you're going with your heart as much as your head as anything, right?
Well, sure. But, I mean, I think when you look at this game, the idea is the last few years, it has been competitive.
Oh, yeah.
It's been tooth and nail for quite some time. 2 years ago was a fantastic game when we went in the overtime. And I think, you know, if you will, knowledge of that is bringing in that national audience now.
Right.
And when you look at this landscape, especially early in the season, yeah, this is a great game to watch.
Yep. Yep, certainly is. I know I'm going to be in the parking lot.
I'll be there.
How can you not be there? That's it. You know, there's probably going to be four times as many people outside of the stadium as there is inside of the stadium. So, should be a good time. Should be a really good time. Okay, guys, I know that you're meeting with farmers all the time. It's a tough financial situation out here. The economics of it sometimes just don't work. What are the conversations, Lee? What are some of the conversations that you're having with farmers right now?
Well, I think it's understanding the current situation we're in, but also understanding the long game of it.
Yeah.
I think we're certainly challenged in these current markets, especially when you look at the cattle market and what's happened here the last month, but also understanding the broader picture.
Yeah.
And I think that you're seeing a very strong demand situation, the opportunity to open exports and really grow them substantially, and really understanding that, you know, producers have, you know, taken what they've learned over the last several years. I think they're ready for challenging times and ready to come bounce back out of this even better. But I think it's certainly helping them understand how do we get through these times.
Yeah. You know, one of the toughest things that I think the livestock guys right now are dealing with, and I think it's the guys that are finishing cattle, they look at those packer margins right now north of $400 a head, and they just, how do we get more of that retail dollar down the supply chain and back to the farm gate, Lee?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly when you look at that and the mismatch of that, you know, at face value, I think it's very difficult to see. But also understanding that, you know, this is a very dynamic process, and really what's driving some of those margins now aren't necessarily the current cattle prices, but what beef was bought for six weeks ago, right? And beef prices were much stronger then. And so I think it's first kind of unpeeling some of those layers, but also understanding that, you know, in the long run, these markets work. And so understanding right now there's much of a pinch point at the live cattle situation. But packers over the last decades have dealt with tight margins as well. And so, yes, it's hard to see, but I think there are better times. The future suggests there's a $17 spread right now from the October futures to the April futures for live cattle. So right now the market is rather bullish out there.
Gotcha. What about you, Chad? What are you hearing from farmers? What do they want to talk about?
Well, what do they want to talk about? They want to talk about better times. And, you know, as we talked about here, you know, sort of on the crop side, we want to hitch our wagon to the livestock side right now. As Lee mentioned, the idea is that there they've got growing exports right now. There they do have futures that are indicating better times are ahead, and we're hoping to build that on the crop side right now.
Right.
But we're just not there yet. And so the question then becomes, okay, how do you weather this storm after you've weathered the past several years where we struggled here? And where do you find that income to help you get by?
Right.
And so there's been a lot more discussion on our side about, you know, looking at crops, looking at the government support that we've got here. How does that help us out? You know, does that fix our short-term cash flow problems while it still doesn't address our long-term issues as we're looking out for that demand to build up like we've been seeing on the livestock side?
Yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, we could go – We could change a lot of attitudes with a couple of trade agreements in here, couldn't we, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, definitely when you're looking at, you know, in fact, I was with a group of ag managers earlier today, and we're talking about USMCA, and we're talking about a possible deal with Japan, and working down that line of solidifying the trade partners that we've got, building on that top of that relationship, and continuing to try to grow those markets.
Right, absolutely. Guys, we could talk for all afternoon. We've still got some more work to do. You guys and I are going to be on U.S. Farm Report this weekend with Tyne. Hopefully, we'll see if Tyne can stump the three of us.
That'd be entertaining to watch.
It would be. All right. Thank you so much. That's Lee Scholes and Chad Hart from Iowa State University. All right, Davis.
Ew.
It's that time. Take me home. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by USDA's Crop Potential Report. We know, blah, blah, blah. The crop isn't made until it's in the bin. And now today's tweets at KMM McCamick. Guess we ought to winterize the planter and put it away. Yeah, I think it's probably time by now. At Morrison Markets, having imagers of producers with cutting torches trying to pry open those welded bin doors. And at Ted Hamer 1, today's keyword is potential. Did a farmer slap you? If they did, you said it correctly. Now back to you.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Hey, it has been a lot of fun down here on the campus at Iowa State University. Tomorrow, I've got to be out of the office again, dude. It's going to be you and Tyne Morgan in the morning and in the afternoon. PJ Conrad from Tradus LLC will be in tomorrow afternoon with Tyne as well. Have a great day. Signing off from Iowa State.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.